Listen to the word of the Lord as it comes to us from Matthew's telling of the beginnings of this story. As we continue to look at what it means to put away childish things, what does it mean to be a grown-up spiritually? What does it really mean to love as a grown-up in Christ? Listen to the word of the Lord as it begins, verse 18, chapter 1 of the Gospel of Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. Planned to abandon her. But just when he had resolved to do this, the English says in the New Revised Translation, that's nowhere near what the Greek says. We'll talk about that in a bit. Just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel told him. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife. He had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We Christians, we love to read the Bible and pick on the Pharisees, but we all have an inner Pharisee. Because being a Pharisee is the only way to actually try and live out a faith that makes human sense. The key to being a Pharisee is to believe that your ability to put a circle around something, to put an appearance on something, is the same as the reality of it. Appearance is reality, and therefore, if I can pull off the appearance, I have achieved the reality. The command says, do not kill, so I don't get angry. I don't hit anybody. I don't do any violence, and therefore I say, I have done everything that God actually meant when he said, do not murder. I fulfilled the whole thing because I made the appearance work. And not only do then we get the peace of thinking that we've actually done everything that God wanted us to do, but we also then have a way to be able to measure it. Do I look like I did that? And if I look like I did that, then I get to say, I'm good at that. And I also get to say, when your slip is showing, you're not as good at that as I am. And I get to look around and start to figure out who is actually better than anybody else. I get to move into a place where, once again, I am in the center of everything. Even though I say I'm doing it all for God. It is the magic circle of human delusion. And if you think that the Pharisees are different from you, you're wrong. Same thing happens to you, same thing happens to me, and it happens in a heartbeat. I preached on this passage
a lot because this preaches to my inner Pharisee. Because there are the verse that says, while he was considering this, that verb has nothing to do with consideration. It is not a rational word. It comes from the Greek word to explode. The only other place that that verb happens is an active form of that verb that happens a little bit later, not by accident, when Herod is tricked by the wise men. The same verb, different form, an active form of the verb, Herod blows up. And what happens? Every child under the age of one in Bethlehem and in the surrounding area dies. Every one of them is murdered. So I would always look at it and say, be like Joseph, not like Herod. En thumao, not thumao. Thumao is total loss of control. It is the hot lava explosion of anger at something that burns everything down. That is Herod. Thumao. Boom. Dead. But Joseph en thumao, Joseph keeps it contained. It all stays inside him. All that lava, all that magma, all that anger, all that resentment, it all stays in a nice container. But look at the difference. Herod, a man with no self-control, blows up. Hundreds, thousands of children die. But Joseph keeps it contained, and the Savior of the world almost doesn't come into the world. Who has done the more damage? Both are done out of pride. Herod, I've been tricked. Joseph, I've been tricked. I was going to marry this woman, and she's pregnant. I'm a righteous person. I have standing inside this society. If I marry her and she's pregnant, I look like an idiot. The easy thing to do, protect my own pride. Take that resentment and live out of that resentment, and that resentment leads him to one conclusion. There's only one thing he can do. There's one just, right, deserved thing he can do. He can put Mary away. He can dismiss her. He can divorce her. And if he does, no one will take her in. No one will recognize her. Her family will reject her. The child that is within her will die. And it's all perfectly legal, rational, moral, justified. Which one is actually better? And the truth of it is, while thumao, blowing up at people, may be a terrible thing, holding on to it is worse. Joseph doesn't kill 1,000 babies in Bethlehem. He almost stops the Savior of the world from coming into the world. He almost stops millions, millions, billions of people from finding life. And he would never know, would he? The problem for every one of us when we think self-control is only hanging on to it, bottling up our resentments and not putting them away, is that what is deprived of the world is good. We may not do evil in the world, but we cannot do good in the world. It stops us from connecting to people. It stops us from being an instrument of Christ. It stops us from being an instrument of the gospel. And what gets lost? We don't know. It is impossible to prove a negative. This would have happened if you had done that. Well, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. And since what all of that lack of self-control, that lack of being willing to get out of our own resentment and anger, the power that that holds over us as we bottle it up, it just stops us from being useful in Christ's hands. It stops us from doing good. And each one of us can say to each other, well, the world is the way it is. It would have been that way anyway. Nothing really is that different. It isn't that different, and who knows? Maybe there would have been nothing that would have come out of that. Edmund Burke spoke powerfully to the power of our problem when we think self-control is something you do. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing. And what resentment does is it paralyzes good people to do nothing. What all of those things, those fears, that pride, that power that is in us, it stops us, it paralyzes us, it stops us from doing anything. The reason I didn't want to talk to the people who were in my high school class is I didn't want to be laughed at again. I didn't want to be made fun of. I'd been through it enough. I'd had it done to me enough. I'm not doing it again. And what was lost, I don't know. I don't know what could have come if I had been willing to be the witness I was called to be there. I don't know because it didn't happen. The Church of Jesus Christ in this culture lives in the reality that we are, by the power of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are proving a negative. In this time, in this generation, we are absolutely proving a negative. There was a time 40 years ago in this church when this church would have been filled with young people. And this choir loft was filled with young people. Many of them, most of them, are nowhere in the body. We live inside a country and a world where being an evangelical witness for Christ in this time has come down to watching people punch people in public assemblies for disagreeing with what the speaker says. We live in a time where we have to be able to say Black Lives Matter. Because the Church of Jesus Christ, which still, by numbers, dominates this culture, cannot figure out that that statement is true. Because if I say it is true, it will cost me something. The statement Black Lives Matter, by the way, is not a statement that white lives don't matter. Let's not get confused on that. What it's really saying is that Black Lives Matter just as much as white lives matter. And the fact is, to be able to say Black Lives Matter means they don't. I cannot imagine what would happen in Los Angeles if two young white people were sleeping in a car and they were shot by police who just came up to the car, never even asked them their names, just shot them. But did you know that happened yesterday? Didn't matter, did it? Not out of the norm. Not unusual. If you live in Chicago, Illinois, you thought last year was bad. There were 500 murders in the city of Chicago. Do you know how many murders there have been in the first 2 months of 2016? Yesterday, we passed 100. And it's not March yet. A young lady just walking down the street, going home, shot and killed from a car. And no one knows why. The reality of it is, brothers and sisters, the evil that exists inside this culture, the evil that finds its promulgation inside your family, the evil that is there comes from one simple thing, and that is that you and I don't do anything. The most terrible thing I see and understand now about life, too late, is how much was lost by my not doing what I could have done. Joseph thinks he's practicing self-control because everything is buttoned down and he hasn't hit anybody. He hasn't said a mean word to anybody. He's been nice. Perfectly self-contained. And the whole history of the world is going to be lost because that's what he intends to do. And instead, God shows up, sends an angel, and says, "You're going to do this. You are going to marry her. You're going to have Mary to be your wife. The child that is in her is by the Holy Spirit." Now, is Joseph going to be able to go out and defend his manhood, to defend his righteous station by saying, "Hey, hey, stop that, Georgianne. The child's by the Holy Spirit," and Georgianne's going to go, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, Joseph, that's good for you. You just believe that." So now not only are you losing your station, but now you look like an idiot. You're saying it's the Holy Spirit that did it. But Joseph is willing to stand and do the crazy thing. He's willing to do the thing that humiliates him. He is willing to do it because God says, do it. The reason the average person in the average pew in the average church in the United States witnesses to zero people in their lifetime, we are afraid of what's going to happen. We're afraid of what they're going to do. We're afraid of being laughed at. We're afraid of having somebody say, "Oh my gosh, that's wonderful for you, but you're very naive. How silly." We're afraid of our own pride being hurt. And for the sake of our own pride, we let people die. Joseph says, "My pride doesn't matter as much as God's word. My pride does not matter." The angel said, "This is what you will do." Joseph, against his better judgment, does what the angel of the Lord commanded. It is as simple a statement as the first statement of blessing and righteousness that is in all of the scriptures. So Abram went, leaving the only place you could possibly be, one of the five cities in the world. You're an established person. You have all of this stuff. You are safe. You are clear. And you're in the middle of the desert. And God says to Abram, go. He doesn't say to Abram, I'm going to take you over here to Israel, and I'm going to put you down, and everything's going to be fine. You're going to see there will be a hundredfold return from everything that you're going to do. It'll all work out. I have a five-year plan for you. Give me 5 years. Give me 5 months. Just let me do this just for a little bit, and then I'll show you. No, go. That's it. Go. The righteousness of God is in the self-control that leads to obedience. Not in buttoning everything down inside of you. It doesn't come from being able to say other people think you have everything under control. Because that is all control that's an illusion. It is built on mortal things by mortal hands, and it will fail. The real power of self-control. I'll do it. It's crazy, but I'll do it. Can you explain to me how you're going to do? No, I really can't. I'm just called to do that. Well, that's dumb. That's not a good excuse for that. How can you just? I can't, but I'm going to do it. There are five places in my life that I can think of where I have done something that I knew was nuts when I did it. And that voice inside of your head says, you're stepping out and you're doing what? You're going to say yes to what? You're going to move across that and reach out to who? How on earth do you know that that's going to, what on earth are you doing? And I've been surrounded by people in every one of those five times that said, what are you doing? Do you understand? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I have to say to them, no, I really don't understand, but I got to go. This is what I got to do. In every one of those five places, I can look and I can see God working, and the people that God worked on through that simple obedience think I'm some kind of genius, that I knew how bad things were in their life and I came over and did this because I had some understanding. I had no idea what I was doing. I did not understand. I did not move out of my own understanding. I moved out of God's command. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make a straight path for you. Not to the place you're going, but to the place he's going. He's not going to take you to your best life yet. He's going to take you to life. The reason the Church of Jesus Christ is the way it is. The reason why Starbucks can serve the United States 350 million people with 12,000 outlets and the Church of Jesus Christ with 300,000 outlets cannot figure out a way to serve 325 million people. The reason for it is, brothers and sisters, we're not working. The work is not you being nice. It's not you being buttoned down. It's not me being buttoned down. It's us doing crazy, stupid things. Loving people, stepping out and just giving your heart away, trusting God and moving. Even when it breaks your heart, even when it goes against every fiber of your being to believe it's what you should do. I remember knowing a man who walked through the death of a child of his by somebody else's hands and watching him tremble with anger at all of that and say, I forgive and I don't want to forgive. I don't want to do this, but I do it anyway. I do it against my own self because I know this is what Jesus wants me to do. Anybody who is a real witness of the power of Christ in this world has walked through hell holding Jesus' hand. That's been the witness. Because the fire makes him visible. Who have you witnessed to? And I'm not talking the nice tracts. I'm not talking James Kennedy evangelism explosion. I'm not talking about a program. Does somebody see the heart of Jesus in you? And yes, most of them will laugh at you. Yes, it may not be a sign of upward mobility. They may not clap. No, you may never run into anybody who ever claps for you. You may come to Jesus at the end of it, having obeyed him at every step and saying, did anything come of that? Paul himself in his ministry struggles with this. He says, the only way I know my labor is not in vain is that Jesus says my labor is not in vain, because everywhere I look, my labor looks like it's in vain. I don't see what's coming out of this. And out of all of those tiny churches struggling, conflicted, various places you can find Paul naming people who turned on him, hit him, hurt him. From all of that, we have the New Testament. From all of that, we have the Word that guides us and has guided generations between us and there. And every single word of that, every single step of that could not have been done. Every single one of those things could have easily been silent. Church of Jesus Christ sits in the midst of this violence-torn city, this violence-torn state, this violence-torn world. And because we are not willing to stand up and say there is another way, because we might get shot, we might get hurt, we might get laughed down, they do not know. They have not heard. It has not been told them from the beginning. What will you do about that? I have struggled all my life with my temper. Redheads get it naturally, I guess. It comes with the territory. I have always struggled with my temper. And I thought when I was able to finally contain it inside myself that I was doing what Jesus wanted me to do. But the thing that this sermon has really taught me, and this has been a very difficult week in my life, is that he has shown me over and over and over again how locking all of that down has taken me away from some of the things he called me to do, and I didn't do them. And I don't get a chance to do them again. So I know when I face the judgment seat of God, I will face errors of omission. I will face sins of omission. I can't do anything about the ones that have gone for the 52 years now, but I can do something about them from here on, and that is I can obey in the moment and do what I know he's calling me to do. How about you? I may be growing up late, but God help me, I'm going to grow up. I am going to love. I am going to live. I am going to heal. I am going to be the agent that Christ made me to be. How about you? Let's pray. Lord, help us to listen for your voice and to do the crazy thing you ask us to do. To leave the safety and security of our own comfort. To stand in the world naked and unashamed, bold for the gospel. To do that with our children. To do that with the children of this church. To do that with everyone that we run in contact with. For Lord, we are all in this place. We are preachers. We are all preaching. Forgive us, Lord, for the broken gospel that we have transmitted, that so many have rejected and have thought it was the true gospel. Bless us, Lord Jesus Christ, from this day forward, to commit our hearts and lives to being an instrument of your righteousness, knowing, Lord, that that means when you tell us to do something, we're going to have to do it, knowing that when we do that, somebody's going to think we're crazy. Somebody's going to laugh. It will cost us, perhaps, a reputation. It will cost us what people say behind our backs, or how people snicker cynically when we state what we know is true. Bless us to remember, Lord, that somebody somewhere in this very moment is dying by doing what you're asking us to do. They're not laughing at them, they're shooting them. They're not laughing at them, they're imprisoning them. And forgive us, Lord, for such a low tolerance for pain that a simple snicker can silence your voice within us. Bless us, Lord, to be instruments of your gospel. Bless us to love, that this land may be healed, that our families may find healing, that our children may find healing. For we pray in Jesus' name.